Welcome to Under the Tooth, the podcast which aims to bring dentistry right to your ear, from general dentistry, specialty training, and everything in between. My name's Ilias.
And my name's Asha.
And my name's Sari.
And today we've got the lovely Victoria Wilson on our Under the Tooth podcast. We're so excited to have Victoria on. She's a dental therapist amongst a million other qualifications, which we will let her discuss. However, she is a dental therapist and she is from the Eastman Dental Hospital, where she qualified in 2001. And she is just one of these lovely ladies that has been dedicated to the profession since she's qualified. And we cannot wait to share her journey with you guys.
So thank you very much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
First
question is just describe for us your typical working week.
Wow, it changes every week. To be fair, on a Monday morning, I drop my little ones with my mum and dad at 8 a.m.
Childcare sorted then.
Yeah. Literally, childcare. That's key.
That's the key word.
I speed back to mine. I have generally got a call at 9 or a meeting. Everything's done on the phone pretty much. Then I've probably got a podcast somewhere in the day, podcast recording scheduled.
Okay.
Then I've got various editing and other recording throughout and various other meetings. And that's a Monday. And then I'm like, Mum, okay, can you have them for a bit longer? Come on, 7:30, go on, we'll push it till then before bedtime. So that's my Monday. I've always got a Monday. Generally, Tuesdays, I drop the girls at school. And I've either got 9 till 12 to work or a bit longer, depending. And that would be just phone calls, meetings, writing, anything really. But today I was teaching at Lundeck, so I also do a lot of teaching. So it can vary. I can have teaching in the week. Sometimes I work on Wednesdays. Then Thursday, Fridays, I am a full-time mummy, Saturday, Sunday.
That's so good.
But I work every night, yeah. Non-stop.
So what kind of things are you into, other than the teaching? What kind of things do you do?
I do quite a bit of writing.
What is it you're writing? Blogs?
Sometimes blogs, or we look at writing papers from discussions from podcasts.
Oh,
so we look into particular subjects that we discuss in a podcast and find out what the evidence is maybe to support developing that further, or we put together kind of toolkits for other professionals to maybe use, for instance, going on radio. We're currently working on something to support hygienists, dentists, the dental profession, approaching radio, going on radio, how to prepare for radio, you know, things like that, all surrounding oral health promotion and supporting what we're doing. We're looking at, I'm already working on a paper about getting hygienists, therapists, maybe even dentists in practice more into research if they don't know how to get involved in research, who to approach,
yeah.
You know, how to start, any project, anything that's can support advancements in the profession, empowerment.
That's so good. We'd love to hear that because, it's just all about collaboration,
yes.
Working with all different people, and
so
signposting, because I think it's really important for people to know where to go and certain things.
Yeah.
And a lot of people would probably be really interested, but they don't actually know where to go.
Absolutely. And obviously, as you're doing, we learn so much from having these conversations.
Yeah.
In a podcast, you have a conversation maybe that you wouldn't have had with somebody else, and so much comes from it.
Mm.
And because it is a focused chat, it's really incredible what we find and discover in a podcast recording.
So is your podcast really kind of trying to be scientific about things? And
we have two elements to the podcast. I speak to professionals about their career path to find out what specific people have learned along the way and their path, what they wish they knew when they qualified, what they knew now. So it's all about sharing information. Why waste time wasting what someone else has learnt when we can all learn what they've learnt to advance quicker as a profession, to save wasting time? So that's one element. And now what we're also doing is we are interviewing writers of various just articles, maybe in a journal, and then also delving into papers of the authors of various different research.
And are these all dentally related research though?
Generally, it's all dental. Well, it is actually all dentally related.
I think that it's so interesting because I've listened to your podcast and the one you had recently, it's not just clinical.
No.
Which is really important that there's lots of different aspects. Companies, Dentsply, one, right? Was the most recent one.
So yeah, Dense Barcelona sponsor my podcast.
Oh, okay, yes.
So they are the reason for the podcast.
Oh.
I've got a huge, huge thanks.
A
to...
little bit in your heart for
yeah.
them. And where do people find your podcast if they were looking?
They can find it on iTunes. It's Smart Revolution on SoundCloud, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, Acast, Pocket Cast. Seven, right?
And you've got an Instagram.
I've got an Instagram, My Smart Revolution, and Smart Revolution _ podcast. I've got Facebook. I've got a Facebook group. I've also got a private Facebook group where we continue discussions, although that's gradually building. It's in its infant stages at the moment. And then there's Twitter and obviously LinkedIn. So I think we're...
Yeah, you're on all the good mediums.
We'll try
and we will upload the various mediums on our Instagram so you can check Victoria out. But I think I'm really interested to kind of get to the bottom of the fact that you've worked across two continents.
Yeah.
And that's really exciting because it's not just the UK that you've done this profession in, essentially.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
What made you go to the UAE and what made you come back is what I want to know.
Wow, it was a long time ago when I went, but I think...
How long ago?
I was there 10 years and I came back...
went for 10 years?
Yeah, yeah,
wow.
I was there 10
wow.
years.
A long time.
And I came back 2.5 years ago.
Oh, so
oh,
not
wow.
that long
ago. Not
back.
That long ago. Definitely babies, our babies brought us home. And we just decided, me and my husband, that it was time to come home. Family support is key. We'd lived in the UAE for a number of years and I think, you know, we had a great time, but it was time to come home. But it was an incredible experience working, treating people from all over the world. It was working with people from all around the world and it was so inspirational, you know. Things are challenging there to get done. And I learned a lot and I think I became quite resilient to things very determined to get things done. I established the hygiene organisation there as the founder of that for the profession, which is still growing. And yeah.
So did you do clinical and non-clinical work there?
Yes.
Yeah. So what was the non-clinical things you were doing?
I was, well, establishing the hygiene organisation was quite a lot of work because we had to work and collate all the hygienists throughout the country to get all their various different IDs and signing up because it was kind of under the government umbrella. And we registered that. So that was a lot of work and I did quite a bit of lecturing around that and I created a school programme, animal therapy and oral health education. It was totally off the wall.
What's that about?
It was called the Smiling Buddies program.
Oh my goodness.
We had Chubby. Chubby was a little spaniel and he used to come to school with me. And I had
Is that a real dog?
A real dog.
Okay.
Yeah. And he was specifically, I went to an autism conference, an event with all these various different multidisciplinary specialists from, you know, all different backgrounds. And I went over to this animal therapy stand and I started talking to this lady and she was this lovely girl, Claudia from Holland, and she was an animal therapist and child psychologist and she works supporting autism through animal therapy. I think we can do something together. I think we should utilize what you've got. I think we should go to schools. You can obviously, you train the dog and it obviously there's proven effects for the children and how much they learn through animal therapy. And let's inspire the children through this dog and create an oral health educational program. So Chubby would lay down on the floor and wag his tail when we picked up the sugar because it was not good.
But when we picked up the
good foods and the good drinks, he'd do a little jump and, you know, dance around.
That's amazing. Who trained the dog?
She did because she was the animal kind of therapist.
Yeah.
It was amazing. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
And did you go around schools?
In the UAE.
Okay, wow.
What about bringing that back to the UK? Have you thought?
I haven't done it yet. I don't know any animal therapists. Maybe we could.
Maybe your kids
skill
up as an animal therapist.
Another avenue.
Yeah. It was fun.
Because they say, like, you know, what's it, the puppies? Therapy dogs? They brought them into the hospital
they
recently.
They have hospital dogs.
Do
that.
Yeah.
They usually do. They have hospital dogs in most hospitals for therapy. So, yeah, I'm pretty sure you could extend that to
that's interesting
them.
Yeah, I should tap into it.
I think
there was
actually,
she can have
really
there was
like
a dental practice as well because I think there was one for with it was anxious
patients
and they would bring a therapy dog into the practice and it was proven to reduce the anxiety.
I saw, unrelated, I saw in the news recently that one of the hospitals had a pony that they brought in.
Oh, my
goodness.
That's
wow.
Even better. What did they do
Shetland
with the pony?
Everyone, I don't know, just brought it into ITU and things. Everyone's like, I can't wear my watch. How are you letting me?
That's true.
I wonder if they got any little kind of kids being allowed
brilliant.
To ride it through the hospital. You see a little pony.
No idea.
That's amazing.
Well, who knows what's next?
Everything's a possibility.
Yeah. Anything?
So in terms of your like meetings and stuff that you have during the week, what are you having meetings for apart from the podcasts and writing up? Like, who are you connecting with? Like, what is your what's your job role, would you say?
Promoting Oral Health. So I really
amazing.
I look for anybody like yourselves that's inspirational to the profession, doing something maybe a bit different or have had an experience that they maybe could share that others could learn from. And I connect with people all from all around the world.
Mm-hmm.
Having lived in the UAE, I was very involved in the International Organization, Federation for Dental Hygienists, and there are lots of people all around the world that, you know, I speak to, learning from them. And it's all, I do have to say, I do miss clinic. I miss patients. I love that part of my work. But this side of it, I learned so much from. Even lecturing today, I shared things that I learned from my, you know, interviewees on the podcast throughout my presentation. It's incredible.
So you're currently non-clinical at all?
I'm not clinical at all. It was
okay.
A big jump.
When did you make that jump? When you came back?
No, I after having our first daughter, I did go back 2 days a week.
Okay.
But then when we had our second daughter, Alice,
I didn't go back. But then that's so good as well that having a career like dentistry in a dental profession, being a female, being a mum, actually you can do other things and you don't need to stress yourself about being clinical 5 days a week, or there's other avenues.
Yes.
And some people can go down different avenues and non-clinical work, which people don't know. I mean, there'll probably be a lot of pre-dental therapist students listening, maybe dental students listening. Like, these are different avenues that people can go down, and I wasn't taught that at dental school anyway, or before it. So you're an inspiration for other people out there that might be like, wow, I want to do what she's doing.
Well, I do. Do you know what? Something I think I didn't realise there were these opportunities, but I did a degree in oral health promotion, and that really opened my eyes up. My real passion is behavioural change and communication. And it really opened my eyes up to there are so many fabulous clinicians treating patients in clinic, but there are far less people out there talking about what we can, you know, awareness about oral health, etc. And dental disease is still the most prevalent preventable disease globally. So we, out of that clinical setting, the people we're not reaching, we can get to.
I was reading an article earlier, actually, or I think it was on the WHO website. It was 3.9 billion people are affected by oral disease or have an oral health problem of some sort. And that's half, if not 3/5 of the population.
You know, so we've got so much work to do.
Yeah, it's something that's just existing, and we need to multiply you by like a
we need to
do it together.
We need to just replicate you.
Can we clone a few of you?
Just take you and be like, replicate.
Can we have another one, please?
Victoria's popping up everywhere. We need more.
No, it's team. We all keep joining and doing it, making it happen.
Yeah. Have you found like you've progressed in loads of different avenues? Have you found that you came across any challenges? Has there been any aspects where you're like, wow, I'm hitting a wall here, what do I do? Or
definitely. And I think that's the roller coaster ride. Like, I'm essentially working on my own. It's thanks to everyone that's part of the Smart Revolution, like that's involved through the interviews that keep me going. And I can reach out to and I talk to, and it's all the interviewees that really keep me going because I've got that constant connection. But it's hard working on your own, and it's very overwhelming as a mum of two toddlers trying to find that headspace, because I always have so much I need to do and I'm exhausted. And I did experience probably a minor burnout last year because I've always loved working. So I'd work at night without any problems. But with children, you can't do that necessarily because they're up early. I was unwell, they were unwell, and it just went on from December through to April. Mm. I had this chesty cough and it just would not go because I was so run down. And I realised, you know what, I can't work as much as or achieve as much as I used to achieve. It's fine in the work capacity because I'm looking after them. I can't be good for them or be good for my work if I've not got the balance. So I think the challenge has been for me finding that balance, but I feel I'm getting there now.
So what did you kind of, what made you be like, right, I need to sort this out? Was it because you were feeling unwell, or was there something that tipped you to be like, I need to slow down a little?
Well, I think repeatedly, you know, friends have been like, why do you stay up so late? You can't do this. You can't do this. My mum, my dad, you know, my husband, like, go to bed. So, you know, I think the message got through that, you know, staying up till 2 a.m. is not realistic, you know, getting up at 6, 7, you know, constantly on the go all day. So I now try, and maybe I'll pull a 2 a.m. every so often, but I try to always now go to bed at midnight, and it's made such a difference.
Yeah. And we're human, right? As well, like, there's only so many hours in a day, which I realise being like, cut off time is now.
You've got
that's
to.
It. Stopping what I'm doing. I'll have to continue tomorrow. But do you have any, like, time management techniques in terms of, like, because you obviously juggle a lot, and actually, being a mum's a full-time job, right, in itself. People don't give it that. I mean, I can't imagine having kids at this moment in time to be like, God, I can't even look after myself.
So, well, that's what I realised when I had little babies.
And you've got two.
So being an Alice, I was like, wow, okay, I've just got this, but now I've got to look after them.
Yeah, I know. They'll be the ones in your podcast. You know,
got a podcast.
Oh, my God.
Have they really?
What's their podcast?
Baby Smile Revolution.
That's amazing. Yeah, so guys, check that out too.
We might have to link that as well.
Exactly. We must. Yeah, that's so cool. But like, all I can think about is that one where the news presenter was on live and then his little Tim Swan. Has that ever happened to you though? Because you don't record video, right?
No, I do. They're not there when I'm recording.
That's
sometimes when I'm doing an Instagram live, they are, and I'm hoping that they don't wake up.
It was so funny. They're just waddling. You're like, ah! And that just makes it, like, human, right? And
even
talking to you and having you say that, like, you've got kids, you've 2 days, you're a full-time mum, that's because you are human and you can't be superwoman all the time. So.
You said about time management. I think Charlotte Sale, actually, who's a big reason for the Smile Revolution podcast, you know, taught me really, you know, you've got to write lists and work by lists, you know, and I do that.
That's one thing I've only recently started doing. It makes you so much more organized because your thoughts in your head are always kind of jumbled all over the place, but when you write things down in a sequential order or kind of priority list, it just helps you kind of achieve per day or kind of maybe even per hour if you're kind of that constrained for time.
I read a book, actually, can't say the title because it's got a bad word in it, but it's how to basically get your act together, and it basically says in it lists, so I would always write lists anyway, but my lists were not doing it for me, and the lists that it says is, you know what, you need to separate them, so you have a list that's to do today, then it's an urgent list, and then it's a to-do list, and that changed my life, I think, because I was procrastinating on what I wanted to do as opposed to what I needed to do, so I'd have this big long list and be like, right, I fancy doing that because it's like what I want to do or it's really quick, but now it's like a to-do, have to do it today, whether you want to do it today or not, you need to do it because of the deadline or whatever, so that really changed it for me as well, so I think that's really interesting. That's what you work by. Maybe
the way
something.
To go.
Definitely.
You've got lots of different qualifications. What
talk
are your qualifications?
Yeah,
I really want to know all the letters after your name, girl. What is this?
I'm a dental hygienist, I'm a dental therapist, and I've got a bachelor's in oral health promotion.
How was that? Awesome. Tell us a little bit about that.
So, when I first qualified, it wasn't as it wasn't as possible as it is now to study a master's or further your education as a dental hygienist and therapist. Anyway, while I was in the Middle East, I was desperate to get my teeth into something else, and I did this online.
You did the therapy on
the oral health promotion. So Tim Ives, Tricia High at the Ohio University, we did it. We connected on VC around the world, hygienists from all around the world, and we did this oral health promotion degree. It was great.
And how long was that?
I'm trying to think, was it year. I'm not sure.
A year or something, yeah.
I'm trying to look back, yeah. But yeah, it went on for a while.
Yeah, and you managed it, so you were working and then you were doing
I was
alongside
working and doing
yeah.
that alongside. But yeah, it was great. And I don't really, other qualifications, I've done lots of kind of acting arts work, but that's...
Oh, wow,
yeah,
tell
yeah.
us a bit about
yeah.
that,
outside
that's interesting.
That.
outside of dentistry, tell us
outside
a little bit more about what you
yeah,
do.
Yeah, what's your hobbies and...
Well, yoga's a big hobby.
Ooh.
Okay.
And that's really important, I think, for balance.
Mm. Yeah.
And well-being and all
yeah.
of that. And yeah, the arts, I've always been involved in theatre and...
That's
performing.
Stuff like
wow.
that.
Oh,
performing.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
I did a lot of that in the Middle East, actually.
Oh, that's really
oh, wow.
interesting.
Yeah.
Were you
yeah.
in anything that we would know, or like she's being shy now,
yeah,
guys?
Yeah,
she's been all shy
she's,
and humble.
She's
like, just
a
little bit.
Celebrity
yeah, this
as
girl's
well.
Probably paparazzi after her when she goes out, and we're like,
maybe in Dubai, but not here.
That's amazing. That's so cool. But that's like. You're allowed to follow your passion as well, right? Because your passion is the dental profession, but
yeah.
actually it's okay to do other things.
Yeah.
You're not like being a traitor to the profession because you're enjoying
yeah.
other. I mean, like Sarah's got, you've got your football, and you can like do other things.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'd encourage people to always do, you know, what you like doing outside of dentistry for your work, and then it feeds your work and it, you know, you're more invigorated, and whatever you do elsewhere, you know, feeds every part of your life in a good way and who you are, isn't it? So
yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and when you were studying to be, well, you were dental hygienist first, like, is there anything you would give in terms of advice for people who are applying for dental hygiene or...?
I would say I did lots of work experience beforehand. If you want to get in early, if you're still at school and you want to get in, I'd say do loads of work experience in your holidays and... get involved in as many kind of maybe, I guess, volunteer positions as possible. Whatever's going on in your area that's related to oral health, that will help. That certainly helped me getting into dental school before I left school.
Did you get in straight after school?
I got in when I was at school based
okay.
on my A-level results.
Okay.
So,
do you think you'll ever go back clinical?
Yes.
Oh, that's really interesting.
Yeah, at some point, at least one day a week, because I
yeah,
do miss my patients.
It.
I miss
oh,
that.
I'm sure they miss you too. They're probably like, where did she go?
Yeah.
Where is she? She did everything, but she's not coming
it.
To me. Oh.
But I'd say, you know, follow your passion, you know, whatever you're interested in, and you're interested in oral health or whatever aspect, make sure you follow your passion and then you will succeed and enjoy what you're doing. And that's the key, enjoying what you're doing, because then that's, I think that resonates in what you do and that's shared amongst others and you advance because it's not work. I've never felt I've done a day's work in my life because I'm very true to myself. I've got to like what I'm
doing
every
yeah,
day.
Yeah.
Otherwise 100%. It's not worth it.
Yeah, and you can
yeah,
tell that.
Cool.
You come across
yeah.
like that. You're so passionate about it, which is so good.
So is there anything else you want to highlight to us about what you do that you haven't mentioned already at all?
Well, another part of the Smile Revolution is Baby Smile Revolution.
Okay. Oh, you said that was your
yeah.
your kids are involved.
My kids
this
are involved.
Is so exciting.
Do they host the show? Or how
well,
does it work?
It's their project. It's their project.
How
well,
old
no,
are
it's
they?
They're 2 and 3.
Oh, wow. you're starting them
These
early.
Are leaders.
Yeah.
These are upcoming. Watch this space, everybody.
Well, they essentially, being away from the clinic, so many of my friends as well say, oh, it's, you know, witching hour is a big deal for toddlers. And you can so understand why children or the parents give in or the carers for brushing time at night, because they are exhausted, they're on their knees, the children need to go to bed, and that's the last battle. You don't want a brushing battle at the end of the day.
Mm.
So a few of my friends were saying, oh, you know, it's not so easy brushing the teeth, and da da da. And I was like, oh yeah, well, you know, do persevere, don't ever go to bed, or don't let your child ever go to bed without brushing. And I thought, you know what, maybe we can inspire them in some way. It's our role as dental professionals to overcome this brushing battle, which essentially could exist and does exist. And why are there so many children going for GAs? It's the number one reason,
yeah.
essentially.
Yeah, yeah,
why
it's a big, yeah.
children going for GAs because of
teeth.
You know, teeth. It's
yeah.
it's you know, it's unforgivable, I feel, for us as dental professionals
yeah.
to allow this. We've got to we've got to overcome this
somehow.
You've
got to do something.
So who knows? This may work. It may support them. But essentially, it's an audiobook, and that it's free to download anywhere, anytime. The children love listening to audiobooks in the car. When there's that moment, obviously we don't want to let them watch TV that much. It's not good for them. But maybe put on an audiobook.
Mm.
And essentially, it's a story with Sophia singing, because Alice was too young at that time. So there's a 2-minute song that I've recorded for separately where she sings about brushing, that the children, is aimed for ages 1 to 3 or 4. So the children can remember the song. The children then overcome, or have already, in the ones that we've trialled it on, have overcome this brushing battle and love brushing now. And I've got some great testimonials from parents that have already implemented this with their children. So it's working.
Yeah, I think this is amazing. I'm going to start saying it to my kids tomorrow. Oh, not my personal kids.
I was just about to say, I didn't know you had any children.
The kids that I see in practice.
You've got to share it. It's free. They can download it.
No, I definitely will. I think that's a great idea.
And it's a short story. And this is called Toothbrushing with Sophia and Alice, my little daughter.
Oh, they're going to be famous.
So what's the link to it? Is it on the website?
It's on SoundCloud.
It's on
my website too.
Okay.
And there's the 2-minute song as well that you can play, obviously, for brushing. And it's the beginning of a series of books to support oral health for toddlers and children. It's to support the parents as well.
Parent education,
it's,
I think.
Parent
is a big
education.
Thing, yeah.
There's delivering better oral health advice within that as well. So that's evidence based. We have little interviews now with Sophia and Alice about why is it important to brush your teeth, and then they talk about it. But why the key for why we are why I'm interviewing them is because other children relate to other children.
Definitely.
And
I think this is amazing.
It's like role models.
And
I might even download this and play it while they're sitting in the chair, just to get them more used
to
it. I will.
But what I feel as well, there are some fabulous books out there. There are lots of books for children and brushing and stories. But the pathway of the delivery for us as dental professionals to take that to the patient, or to utilise that within the short time we have with the patient, is not necessarily there. So we are working on developing and advancing the pathway so that we can all utilize it with ease. We know the pathway of where to bring it in, and it's also implemented or starting to be implemented through pharmacies, and they've got a pathway too, so that they maybe have people that come into their shop and they can say, okay, they've got children, so what do they start with? Behavioral change is my interest, communication. So you know, speaking to the pharmacist about how to start opening up this conversation, and here's a link, this may help you. It's fantastic.
And how many books are out so far?
Just the one.
It's just okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
But future
and many
plans,
more to come.
Yeah.
Of course.
You heard to hear first, guys. Do you have any other like future plans that you can
ventures
let us know about?
We've got some fun things, but nothing's launched yet.
Nothing launched.
So yeah, it's everything focused on connecting the public with the dental profession to support improvements of the public's oral health around the world. So whatever we can do to work on supporting that and supporting the profession to do that, that's what the Smile Revolution.
Yeah, hashtag watch this space. It's been so amazing. Absolutely loved hearing everything you're doing and about you as a person.
Thank you.
So great to have on as well. But we really want to ask you our important question.
Oh, what's that?
One last question. Manual or electric?
Electric.
Oh,
and
why?
It has to be in depth.
Oh God!
We want to know why. Go as deep as you can get. Dig deep.
Well, in theory, we essentially should. If we had the manual dexterity, we should be able to achieve the same results, shouldn't we, with a manual and an electric toothbrush. But the reality is, not everybody has that dexterity to get in and clean as optimally as possible, as you potentially can do with an electric toothbrush. I am essentially a Philips girl. I have been for many years. The technology behind Philips you know, if you've got the right head, and it's all about the right head, then that is key. So, yeah, I am...
They're not paying you to say that.
Sponsor. Yeah. It's your little ones. Do they use electric? Have they got baby electric?
What would your what would your advice be to kids?
Make brushing fun. Always, from the first time, even before the first tooth comes through, you know, you can get little swabs to, you know, get them to chew on something. It doesn't matter. Just make it a fun, you know, make it an enjoyable experience. And I think it's a mindset, because if you think, oh goodness, the child's not going to want to brush, to overcome that, that's going to be a real challenge. So make it fun, sing a song, go, oh, make lion noises, whatever you want to do, just be as creative as possible. And I have to say, being a therapist, I was treating patients for so many years, and having children opened my eyes up to other things that could really support them at that time in the day. So yeah, I want to share this with all hygienists, dentists, therapists, you know, about it's different, you know, when you've got kids, so let's share it now. But, you know, it's
and
challenging.
With kids, electric or manual?
I definitely get them onto an electric, but yeah, start
I think
with
that
the manual.
That's really interesting. I think that it's really important to start with a manual so they don't lose that skill of dexterity.
Absolutely.
It's like what they say about, you know, us in terms of the kind of society as it is now, we're using computers more than our brains, like we don't know how to do certain things like adding
I
up,
totally
you've got calculator,
agree,
you've got your phone, so I think that's really good that you are making sure that they're on manual, then yeah, they'll probably be converted to the electric side. I mean, sorry, or manual.
Yeah, probably they will.
I think we're
going
to be the odd ones out throughout forever. Whenever we get someone on, they're like, you're weird.
What do you use?
Manual.
Manual.
We've all,
we have this. We have this,
we have the same,
every
because
time
everyone
we ask
looks
question.
At us like, what? And I'm like, I don't
manual, know. Manual and electric.
He's at like half and half over here.
And Ilias is fully electric. He is the economical version.
But we've had so much fun having you on. Thank you so much. And guys, make sure you check out My Smile Revolution and Baby Smile Revolution.
Baby Smile Revolution.
So excited. That's probably like the first one of its kind, right? In terms of ebook. Baby Smile Revolution.
Yeah,
there'll be nothing
like
that out there. So really, really good. And share the love, guys, and we'll post everything on Instagram. But thanks so much for listening, and thanks for coming on.
Thank you
so much for having me.
Thanks.
Bye guys. Make sure you catch us on Under the Tooth.